Okay? One of the greatest psalms ever written. Some of the greatest words ever written. Period. Amen? Say it with me, would you? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Be seated, would you? Thank you. Where were you on September the 11th, 2001? We don't have a whole lot of people talking about what was actually happening at the time that the attack was taking place. I'm talking about people on the planes. They didn't know what was happening. But we do have a little bit, and we're going to see that in just a bit. But I want to talk a little bit about what happened on that day. So stay with me. At 8:46 a.m. on September the 11th, American Airlines Flight 11 crashes at over 466 miles per hour into the north face of One World Trade Center between floors 93 and 99. At 9:03 a.m., United Airlines Flight 175 crashes at over 590 miles per hour into the south face of Two World Trade Center between floors 77 and 85. At 9:37 a.m., American Airlines Flight 77 crashes at over 530 miles per hour into the western side of the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia. At 10:03 a.m., United Airlines Flight 93 crashes at over 570 miles per hour into a field in Somerset County, Pennsylvania, southeast of Pittsburgh. It missed its intended target of either the U.S. Capitol building or the White House. ...2,977 innocent people died on September the 11th, 2001, and that number is much higher today. Many died after the fact. 2,606 in the World Trade Center, 87 on American Flight 11, 60 on United Flight 175, 125 in the Pentagon, 59 on American Flight 77, and 40 on United Flight 93. 411 of these victims were emergency worker heroes, 341 New York firefighters, 2 New York paramedics, 23 New York police officers, 37 Port Authority police officers, 8 private EMT paramedics. And these are their names.
Number of floors on fire. It looks looked like the plane was aiming towards the building.
See if they can somehow get elevated past the 40th floor. We got people injured all the way up here.
That's all. No more civilians. We're going to get two engines up here.
We got reports of another incoming plane. You may have to take cover. Stay in the stairwell.
You have a second plane into the other tower, the tower of the Trade Center. Major fire.
A3, a major collapse in one of the towers.
The other tower just collapsed. Major collapse. Major collapse. The World Trade Center's collapsed. Building 2 has collapsed. Okay.
Transmitting the Mayday. Where are you, Kate?
There's a North pedestrian bridge. I think it closed when I crossed.
Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. Terrorist attacks can shake the foundations of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. These acts shatter steel, but they cannot dent the steel of American resolve. Tonight I ask for your prayers for all those who grieve, for the children whose worlds have been shattered, for all whose sense of safety and security has been threatened. And I pray they will be comforted by a power greater than any of us, spoken through the ages in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me.
Well, as I mentioned, we don't have a lot of recorded information from the flights that hit the World Trade Centers, nor the one that hit the Pentagon. What we do have, it's a flight that was thwarted, that was going to the White House or to the Capitol. I'd like to talk about that for just a moment. At 9:44 a.m., Flight 93 passenger Todd Beamer attempted to call his wife Lisa from the onboard air telephones. Instead, he reaches GTE airphone operator Lisa Jefferson. I just think it's interesting. He couldn't reach his wife, Lisa, but the woman on the phone, her name's Lisa. And she was committed to being there as long as he needed her on that phone. They talked for a total of 13 minutes. He tells her details about the hijacking, that he could not tell if the pilot and the co-pilot were alive or dead. She tells Beamer of the two flights that had already crashed into the World Trade Center. He then tells her about his wife, his kids, and the one they had on the way. The plane begins to lurch as the hijackers have taken the controls. Beamer becomes excited and fears that they're going down. As the plane levels off, he asks Jefferson to call his wife if he didn't make it. He asks her to tell them that he loved them. He then asks the following: can you please recite the Lord's Prayer with me? Will you stand with me? We can do that. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Thank you. As the ride gets more bumpy, He yells, Lisa, Lisa. She tells him she'll be there as long as he is there. I love that. She'll be there as long as he is there. Boy, people need to hear that from us as believers in Christ. We'll be there as long as you're here. Is that a good word for our church today? Beamer then tells her that he and some other passengers had decided to try to take back the plane. They all knew about the other flights being used as missiles. They had to do something and had planned their assault. Beamer then laid down the phone, but he left the line open. Lisa Jefferson then heard Beamer say the following, and I'd like you to say it with us. Here's what he said. Say it with me. God help me. Jesus help me. Are you ready? Okay. Are you guys ready? Say it with me as loud as you can. One, two, three, say it with me. Let's roll. You remember that, don't you? It's been a while, but you remember let's roll, don't you? Well, that's what we have. Where were you on 9/11? Now, I'm going to switch gears now. That's sad. That's hard, isn't it? I came to church today. My goodness. Yeah, you did. But man, dealing with reality is where we live. That's what we have to do. Okay? I thank God I live in this country. I never want to forget what happened. You hear me say? It's good for our heart today. But you know what? There's a good chance that very highly unlikely that you're going to be in a building that's going to be blown up. Okay? But you do face things in your life. You do face 9/11s. You do face having a doctor tell you you've got cancer and it's terminal. You do face having a loved one that you don't think you can live without, watch them wither away and die before your very eyes. You face some hard times. And you will face that. Many of you have faced what it's like to have somebody that you love walk out on you and the kids. There's hard times out there. I never thought I'd get the call from the police that my mother was murdered. Boy, you need the Lord. Are y'all hearing me? Yes or no? What do you do when 9/11s come? Well, here's what I did when 9/11 came. And it's going to be a weird message today in case you're saying, man, he's weird. Yeah, it's going to get weirder. You'll see. What happened that day caused me to obviously look in the Bible. I have always, especially many years ago, studied end time events. I don't do that a ton here at Fellowship, but I'm going to tell you real soon, we're going to study the book of Revelation. It's going to happen. Amen. I used to love teaching the book of Revelation. Used to teach it in a high school. Kids loved it. It was their favorite course, many of them. So when this happened, boy, it just reminded me of last days. Are you kidding me? Say, are y'all hearing me? Say, this evil ideology, radical Islamic terrorism, and buddy, I'm going to tell you, get the message on Islam versus Christianity. It'll be out there soon. But the point is that you can't read the Quran without it being radical. Y'all hearing me say? And you'll get the man. I'm trying to be ugly. It is what it is, okay? But the bottom line is, boy, I was just shaking. And so I did something that I never do. I never do this. I don't preach this way. I went to Revelation 9:11. I just thought, wonder what Revelation 9:11 says. You need to know that when the scriptures were given, the verses and the numbers weren't by the scriptures. Y'all hear that? Yes or no? They were put there for easier reading. Aren't you glad that when we say a certain verse, you can go and find it? Instead of saying, hey, it's in the middle of the page. Find it. Good luck. Amen. Say it. So I'm not saying the little numbers are supernatural in any way. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you what I did. I went to Revelation 9:11. On such an evil thing happening of the devil. What about that book on last days? What does 9:11 say? Here's what it says. And I've called this part of the message the 9/11s of the New Testament. And that's where you're going to go with me for the next 20 minutes or so. We'll go start with this one. Revelation 9:11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. Boy, if I was looking for the devil, I found him, didn't I say? Revelation 9:11 talks about Satan, even lists these two different names, which means destroyer. And that's what Satan is about in your life. He wants to seek and to devour you. Is that what the Bible says? He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour or destroy. So I just thought that was uncanny. Are y'all hearing me or not? So that's 9/11. Revelation 9/11 talks about the devil, last days. Boom! Boy, did I ever just like come upon that? So my interest got piqued. Well, wonder what the other 9/11s say. Wonder if they're all about the devil. I'm going to investigate it. So I did. I'm going to tell you something. I put some work in on this years ago, because I wanted you to remember it. So I came up with P's. P's. For every one of these. Because you know what? You're going to have some 9/11s in your life. And I would love to leave you with today, what happens when my world stops turning? I would love for you to remember Jesus and the Bible. How hard is this? I've got a 9/11. Well, get you a Bible, New Testament, go to 9/11. How hard is this? Say yes or no. Now, we've already seen the last one. That's the devil. I don't want to go to that one, do I? Yes or no? So let's start in Matthew. Are y'all okay? Yes or no? This is unusual. I don't normally preach like this. You know that. But if you think I'm weird today, come back. I'll be weird next week. It's going to happen. So the devil's been deceiving, hijacking, destroying people's lives all the way back since the Garden of Eden. That's what the Bible says. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into our world, and death by sin. And so death now has passed upon all men, for all have what? Sinned. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So what are we going to find in these other 9/11s? Well, I know Revelation's just full of the devil in that one. 9/11. He's a destroyer. So let's back it up and go to Matthew. Now, here's the good news. There's 27 books in the New Testament. You're going to go, man, it's a football game on today. I'm not going to get out of here. Well, trust me, nobody loves football more than me, so you're getting out of here. Amen? But the point is that many of the books in the New Testament are epistles of Paul, so you're in luck. They're only like four or five chapters or one or two. They don't have a 9/11. A few books do. Let's go with Matthew. I've called this victory through Christ, and you'll see why. That's a clue. That's a clue to you. With the last ones of the devil, how can all these other ones be victory? Good, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at them. Here we go. Matthew 9:11. Y'all with me or not? Have I put you to sleep so far? Yes or no? I hope not. You're killing me. Here we go. Matthew 9:11. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Jesus' disciples, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? So what's the first 9:11 in the New Testament? Here's what it is. It's all about people. The first 9/11 is all about people. And it's all about Jesus loving people. Isn't that good? Yes or no? So when you have a 9/11, you find that thing. You start walking with me through the 9/11s. Here we go. Your world's gone crazy. How about this? You've lived like a crazy person. You're a nut. You've caused your own mess. And you turn over here and you see that Jesus loved and ate with publicans. That's sinners and low-life losers. That's what it is. Screw-ups. When your life's like that and you don't know where to turn, this is a great place to turn right here. Y'all hear me? Yes or no? Because Jesus loves people. Say people with me. So the first 9-11 in Matthew is all about what? People. One more time. People. One more time. There we go. Let's go to another one. Mark. It's hitting hard, is it? Say, how many of you think he's weird today? He's got a t-shirt on and everything. Here we go. And they asked him, saying, why says the scribes that Elias must first come? I'm telling you, I didn't just go into these. I looked at them. I studied them back and forth, up and down, to come up with the message and the points. Okay? Our word, another P, is the word, say it with me, prophecy. So the first one in Matthew is all about people and Jesus loving people. What kind of people? Just goody-two-shoe people? No! Publicans, sinners! Second one, Matthew and Mark, is about prophecy. That's what that's speaking of. Jesus, say it with me, he was what? Prophesied to be what? Despised and rejected. That's what Isaiah says. That's what Isaiah was about. That's what that verse is saying. Would you read this with me? Come on, you'll be fine. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Keep helping me. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he, oh, this is a great verse. Come on, help me. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his what? Stripes. We're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. Loud and clear on this one. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hey, that Mark 9:11 is a pretty great verse. Amen? Jesus was prophesied for somebody like me. How you feeling about it? Yes or no? When you got your world turned upside down, you go and go, wow, Matthew loves people. And then you see, wow, it was prophesied that he would come. He's the only way. He's the only way to God the Father. There's no other way but through him. This could have never happened with anyone else. Let's go to Luke. So people, prophecy, I feel like you're sleeping. You're not, are you? Good, I guess you're just listening, aren't you? Okay, here we go. Luke 9:11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them. Talking about Jesus. And he spoke unto them of the kingdom of God, and he healed them that had need of healing. You know what I found when I did all the 9-11s in the New Testament? Didn't find Satan, but in one of them. That's it. He's in the last one. Last days. He wasn't in any of these others. You know who was in every 9-11 that I found? Guess what his name is? That's sort of, you can't do that, John. You know the Bible. That's sort of odd, isn't it? I mean, with all the Bibles, we talking about this, Jesus, in every 9-11. Isn't that pretty cool? So you don't need some degree to figure out when your life's upside down where to go. I think he said 9-11. If you can call 9-11, you can read 9-11. Amen? Say. Come on. So what's the word here? Physician. So wait a minute. Now, people, because he loves people. And prophecy, because, yeah, he was prophesied that he would come and be wounded for our transgressions. The Lord laid on him my iniquity. I'm already getting encouraged, aren't I? Say. And then physician, what's that? He is my great physician. When I'm facing whatever it is I face, you're my great physician. You're my 9-11. You're the one I'm going to call on. I'm going to go to the doctor too, but I'm going to call on him. Amen, say. Come on. He's our great physician. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because, Jesus speaking, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that have been bruised. He's our great physician. He heals the brokenhearted. That's what he does. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What do we learn so far? Can you remember? People, prophecy, physician. I'm not saying it's the easiest thing. You try to figure them out. Call them all a P. Here we go. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. 4th 9/11 in the New Testament. He answered and said, who? Who's talking? There's a man that was born blind from birth. It's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. His disciples said, Master, why is this joker born blind like he is? Is it because his mama and daddy sinned or he sinned? Why is he blind like that? If you listen to the crazy church today, they'll be telling you a lot of things that people have because of their sinning. Crazy. You listening? Okay? I ain't saying you don't get some stuff because you sin, but I'm just saying when you see somebody sick, don't blame it on them, okay? Would you please, and don't say fellowship or my name if you do, okay? Say. Anyway. So his disciples, they didn't know. And he says, no, it's not because their parents sinned, and it's not because he sinned. It's so the glory of God could be revealed. That's what he said. So this guy now has been healed by Jesus. The blind man is now seeing. And this is his verse here. He answered and said, because the Pharisees are saying, you know, tell us who did this. Tell us how this happened. Give glory to God. They didn't want him to say Jesus at all. And he answered and said, a man that's called who? Jesus. I mean, they laid it right out. No, don't say that. They did not want to hear that. Made some clay. Don't say it right there, but he spit on it. Made some mess. Popped it on my eyeballs. And said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam. And by the way, I've been to that pool, by the way. When you read the Bible, it's true, guys. These aren't like made up little places. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I did what? Is that a great verse? 9/11. Can you imagine? Just think about it. Your life's a mess. You're hurting so bad. You start reading some of these 9/11s. Is this going to give you hope in your life or not? Yes or no? And maybe you're there right now, and that's exactly where I'm so glad you're here. This is what I want you to be listening to. Amen? Listen. And I put the word, say it with me, purpose. Isn't that what God, isn't what Jesus said? No, it wasn't his mama that sinned or daddy. No, him. No, it was for the purpose of glorifying the Lord. Can you imagine when your 9/11 comes? That God can work all things together for good. Can you imagine having that kind of supernatural faith? Instead of wanting to kill yourself, you're wanting to live life and see what God has in store for you. I know that's crazy thinking, guys. It is. But that's what greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world means. Amen. That's what I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me means. That's what I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me means. Amen. Yes or no? So, purpose. Jesus gives purpose for my life. So these Pharisees call this man that ain't blind no more, former blind fella, they call him and they said unto him, give God the praise because we know that this man Jesus is a sinner. And one of the greatest verses in the Bible, which led to the greatest song ever written, it came from this verse. Here's what he said. Here's what the blind man told him. He answered and said, listen, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I don't have a clue. But one thing I know, I was blind. And now I see. Hey, hey, hey. Amen. So I need you to do something with me again. Here we go. I want you to get up on your feet. I'm wearing you out, ain't I? Look at the old man. Lynn's over there. He's making us stand up again, John. No, I'm just playing. Here we go. Sing the song with me, would you? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You may be seated again. You thought you were leaving, didn't you? Here we go. Wouldn't you like in the middle of your 9/11 to be able to sing Amazing Grace? Oh, this will preach today. I'm just telling you. As goofy as it is, the 9/11s of the New Testament. What happens when I face a 9/11? Somebody find me a Bible. Amen. Say, go get the Bible. Where'd the Bible go? Amen. Say, come on. Now here's one. Odd. Different. I told you, I had to find Jesus. Jesus is in these. I got to find him. So I was on a hunt. Acts 9:11. Now, Acts 9:11 is about Paul, who was Saul. This guy Saul was a killer of Christians, remember? He was a killer of Christians. He was having Christians hunted down, chaining them, taking them, throwing them into prison. Any new follower of Christ being bound up, and some were being killed, like Stephen, remember? Well, Saul meets Jesus, glorified, resurrected Jesus, on the road to Damascus. Remember the story? And Saul gets his butt kicked by Jesus. Y'all listen to me. He's on the ground and Jesus said, it's pretty hard for you to kick against the pricks. What does that mean? Sharp sticks. Oh, Paul's on the ground blinded by an incredible light. He ain't that big after all, is he? Killing Jesus' folk. And Saul got saved right on that road to Damascus. Put his faith in Christ. And your Bible has 13 books written by this man. Out of 27. That's incredible, isn't it? Say. Well, right after he got saved, he ain't been saved but just a few minutes. Somebody's going to have to help this guy because he can't see, blinded. And also, he needs to be discipled and learned. Yes or no? And so there was a man named Ananias that was told to go and see this Christian killer. Who would want to do that? You're a Christian. I'm a Christian. And God says, oh, by the way, I want you to go visit the Christian killer. Now, you don't know about all this being beat down on the road. Now he's saved and all that. Even if he is saved, I ain't believing that joker that got religion. I ain't going to go see the Christian killer. That's what this verse is. And the Lord said unto him, now you arise and you go to the street which called Straight. That's Straight Street. I love Straight Street. If I had a name of a street I was going to name one day, I want to name my subdivision. One of them streets, Straight Street. I love that. So he said, now you go down to Straight Street. And you inquire of the house of Judas, different Judas, of the man called who? The Christian killer. Because he's down there praying. What's that got to do with anything? It's 9/11. I'm just telling you what it is. Jesus is all over this verse. He gave this fearful man, Ananias, who did not want to go see the Christian killer. He gave him the what? He gave him the power. When you're facing a 9/11 in your life, and you don't think you can make it, there's no way I can do this. When you roll into Acts, you remember Ananias having to go see the Christian killer. You'd be amazed what you can do when you have the power of God inside of you. Yes or no? Amen? How many would say, Pastor, that's true. I had a hard experience, or many of them, but it was the power of God that got me through it. Can I see your hands? See, look at it right there. That's incredible. Isn't that beautiful? Yes or no? I like this message. If you don't like it, don't tell me later. I don't want to hear it. Jesus empowers me. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and of what kind of head? When your head's all screwed up. Oh, man. I don't know where to go, how to turn, what to do. Woo! Get you some of these 9/11s. Amen? Well, we got a couple more to go. We're fixing to get into the epistles and we're going to roll right on through. Romans 9:11. Can we review? We might not know them. Here we go. People, prophecy, physician, purpose, power. We're doing good, ain't we? For the children, a little bit strange, but it'll come together. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to what? Election might stand, not of what? Works, but of Him that calls. You lost me, Gary. Well, good. Let's talk about it. I popped up the word promise. 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 You know who Jesus is. Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy that He would come, that God promised to us. Amen? We're not saved, guys, by good works or good looks or good church attendance. I think you ought to be here. We're not saved by our giving. I think you ought to give and give cheerfully. But we're not saved by that. We're saved because of the promise of God. Y'all hear me, yes or no? You mean if I call on Jesus, if I confess with my mouth Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I'll be saved? Absolutely. Why? How do you know that, Clark? It's the promise of God. And that's what this verse is talking about. Jesus is God's promise of mercy. That's what this is saying. Even so, we, when we were what? Children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That's it with me. We might receive the adoption of... Now remember, you're going through a 9-11. You come to Romans, a little difficult verse, but it's still all about Jesus in that one. It's really all about Jesus. Okay? And here you are feeling like you can't make it. And you roll into Romans 9:11, and you look and go, oh my, I have His promise. It's not about my works. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Say verse 6 with me. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your what? Heart, crying what? Abba. Father, Daddy, when your 9-11 hits, wouldn't it be nice to be able to cry out to Daddy? Amen? That's what Romans 9-11 is all about. Your salvation in Christ stands sure. Yeah, but I'm hurting. Well, that's one thing you ain't got to worry about, because this one's on me and I got it, God says. Amen? Don't know if you got lost on that one. Wherefore thou art no more a what? Servant, but now you are a what? Son, and if you are a son, then I'm a what? And you're talking about you can't make it through your 9-11? Sure you can. You're an heir of God. How'd that do for you? Got my chin up, didn't it? 1 Corinthians 9-11. We have a couple of three left here. 1 Corinthians 9-11. I'm just trying to see the 9-11s, but I'm finding something that is remarkable. I'm finding amazing power in Jesus in every one of them. And I'm also finding a progression. It started out with people. He loves people. And then prophet, and it seems to be building. I don't know if it's on purpose or not, but the point is that's the way it worked out. You hear me say? If we've sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap of you carnal things? What's that talking about? It's talking about preaching. 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 That's the word right there. Paul has been preaching now. Is it anything wrong if I try to eat and get a living from you jokers? I mean, come on, I'm out here preaching. And that's what this is saying. It's not a bad thing to get support. Yes or no? It is a bad thing to become a charlatan, to lie to people on TV and mess like that, or to tell people, name it, claim it, blab it, have it, you're going to get rich quick, and the one getting rich is the guy preaching it. Yes or no? Say. Now, there's something dead wrong with that. Nothing wrong with somebody working. That's his profession, what he's doing, and to make a living. Okay, preaching. What's this mean to me, though? Jesus commands us to do what? But guys, listen, we're talking about 9-11s. You lost me, Clark. That one's odd. That's weird. It ain't weird. Here it is. It's a progression. When you come to Jesus, and this progression takes place, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, don't be surprised what you thought was evil, God meant it for good. Don't be surprised the crap that you're going through, God can make it work out for good. And that's going to be the thing that people are going to be drawn to you over as you give them Jesus Christ and give them the Word. You listening to me or not? It's powerful, but don't put the cart before the horse. When you're going through a 9-11, don't start preaching. When you need help and you need comfort and you need love and you need stability and you need some things that you get. And then when you get a little further down the road, you open up that mouth and let it rip. Amen. Say. Y'all hear me? Yes or no? Y'all hear me? Yeah, praise the Lord. Come on, you ought to praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. It's sort of goofy when somebody's really hurting and going through a lot and their life's just a mess and out of their mouth. I mean, I like that they're trying to be positive, but sometimes they just need to hush. It's okay. We try to be too spiritual sometimes when we face our difficulties. It's okay to be real and a real human being and to go through what you're going through, and you're going to get better. That's what this does. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus commands us to preach. You mean out of my pain, even out of my struggles in my life? Sometimes that's the best preaching. Good stuff. Keep looking. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved is the what? It's the power of God. 2 Corinthians 9:11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Say this last part with me. Which causes through us what? Thanksgiving to God. Wonder what the P is on this one. Praise. Now, I wasn't doing that back in Matthew. I don't think I'm loved or that I even matter. I'm going through a bunch of mess. But I find out now through this progression. Man, you mean even he can take my 9-11 and open up my mouth and cause myself to praise him? Absolutely. Y'all hearing me? Yes or no? Praise. Jesus is worthy of my praise. Is he just worthy of your praise when life's good? Or is he worthy of your praise when life's really bad? He's worthy of your praise. He's God, you're not. Okay? And nobody else should get that praise. Give it to him. Come on. Revelation says, you're worthy, O Lord. In case you're looking for a 411, there's one. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for thou hast created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. You're the only one worthy of praise. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and what? Blessing. Now we're almost done with the message. Here's the last one. Got them? I ain't going to review because I'll miss some of them. Last one. But Christ being come and high what? I got my pee. It was right there. A high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. I found Jesus in every 9-11. Oh, he was there. It wasn't hard to find him either. He is my high priest. Isn't that what you want when we're hurting? Yes or no? Isn't that what you want? Man, you mean I got a direct line to God. You got a direct line to God. No matter what you're going through. We don't have a high priest which can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points what? Tempted just like we are, yet without what? Sin. Let us therefore come how? Boldly unto the throne of grace that we can obtain what? Mercy and find grace in the time of need. That word can easily be translated trouble. In the time of trouble, I can come to my high priest. So Jesus Christ, excuse my language, he knocked the snot out of Satan. Yes or no? Say, yes or no? Oh, I found him over here in 9-11, Revelation 9-11. But when I went through the rest of the Bible, pop, 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 pop. Hello. Did y'all get that or not? Now, again, I don't encourage you to go to every little verse. There was a man named Ed Velo years ago. Crazy guy, preacher guy. Every number in the Bible. He was a numerology freako guy, okay? I read one of his books. I was like, my head was going to pop off my shoulders. Don't go crazy. I'm not saying do this. I'm just saying this is what I did at a time of crisis. And I think I found a treasure. Amen. I think I found me some treasure. Would you say them with me good and loud? This is what we learned this morning, the 9/11s of the New Testament. Jesus loves people. It was predicted that He would die for us. He would heal our broken heart. He would give us sight. We would be His followers. He promised us His mercy and He delivered. Now we preach the good news. We are so thankful. And we talk to Him about it all the time now. Amen. Can we thank the Lord for His Word? Come on. Praise the Lord. Amen. Boom. I like that message. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand on up. That clock's bearing down on us back there. But we did it. If anybody ever asks you, you ever studied the 9/11?